This morning's Christmas gospel is from the first chapter of John, beginning with verse 1, where John uses the name Word for Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, and children who are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me because he was before me.' For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side has made him known." The gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Please have a seat. Well, Merry Christmas, and grace to you and peace from God our Father, for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't know about you, but some of my most delightful memories and recollections of Christmas have to do around children experiencing Christmas. And we had wonderful neighbors when we lived in Montana. There were three little children, younger than our kids. And we just had got the movie The Polar Express. Okay, the Polar Express movie is a train journey of a little boy who didn't believe anymore in Santa and was then taken to the North Pole in this amazing adventure. It comes to the point of the movie where the boy is given this little bell to ring. And if he believes in Santa, he could hear the bell. And he takes the bell up to his ear and it doesn't ring. And Emily, our neighbor girl who's 6 years old, was watching the movie at this moment and said, "You can do it. You can do it." And he takes the bell again and ding, 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 ding. Believed. He believed. Believe is today's theme. You've heard it said many times in John's gospel, to those who believe in Jesus, to those who receive him. Those two words, believe and the rhyming word receive, are really the core of today's message. "Joy to the world," we sing. "The Lord has come. Let earth receive its king." And the third line of that beloved Christmas hymn, "Joy to the World," is this: "Let every heart prepare him room." Let every heart prepare him room. That's really an important phrase to reflect on a Christmas morning. Reading John 1, if you caught it, it's really an introduction to all of Jesus' ministry. It covers the entire Gospel of John in 18 verses. It talks about his birth, him coming, that he's God in the flesh. It talks about John coming to prepare the way for Jesus. It talks about what Jesus was to do. And in the middle of that section, these verses are shared, and I'll say it again. I'll read them again. So it's about receiving Christ or opening to Christ, of preparing room in your heart for Christ. John wrote, "The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." So as we receive him, John says, as we believe in Jesus, we become not just followers or not just another number. We become children of God. I think that's why the magic of Christmas is so wonderful for children, because children relate to a baby and animals and a manger and all the things that are wrapped up in this beautiful story. The story is acceptable and approachable to everyone of all ages. And John writes it here, we become a child of God. You know, there's no grandchildren in the kingdom. You don't get to come to heaven because your parents believed or your grandparents believed. All of us on our own need to receive Christ and believe in him. That's why we are children of God. And that relationship with him is one where we can be secure. And we can, in that relationship, what this prepare a room in your hearts is all about is cultivating a space in our lives where we can continue to open ourselves to Christ. It's not just on Christmas morning, but it's every day. It's several times throughout the day of opening ourselves to Jesus. John also wrote the book of Revelation. And in that, he writes an amazing and a wonderful depiction of how that relationship is to be. In 3:20, he says, "Behold," Jesus says, "I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to eat with him and he with me." This verse beautifully speaks of what preparing room in your heart is all about. It's like your life is this room, and Jesus is knocking on the door. Will you let him in? You know, those pictures that depict this scene only show the handle of the door on the inside, because Jesus can't open the door himself. He has to be let into our lives. There's a lot of truth in that. And the idea of him coming in to eat with us is such a warm and inviting relationship. Because in biblical times, when you had a meal with someone, that's when you had a relationship with them. Until you ate together, it wasn't even considered much of a relationship. That was what the binding thing was, is eating together. And it says that he will come in and eat with us. So as we listen to him, as we open our lives to him, that is that opportunity to have a relationship with him. The tragedy is that so often we just don't hear the knock. We forget. We get busy. We have so many things, so many distractions. But that is the message today, is to prepare room in your hearts to receive Jesus. The next verse in John's first chapter sums up Jesus so perfectly. It says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we've seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." Those two words, grace and truth, fully describe Jesus. If you was all grace, or if everything was all grace, all grace can be feel like license to do whatever you feel like, right? It's like, oh, it doesn't matter. You have grace. You can do whatever you feel like. Not exactly, because there are consequences to the things that we do that are not right. And if Jesus was all truth, and we know that, you know, there is truth, the Word of God is truth, but if he's all truth, that becomes legalism. And we see that expression sometimes as Christians act out their life in God. Some Christians lean toward being all grace and everything is permissible. and others get very judgmental and become that it's all legalism. But if you read carefully in the Gospels, if you follow Jesus all the way along his ministry, you see this perfect line of someone who walks right in grace and truth simultaneously. He's appropriately direct to the Pharisees and those who need correction, and he's appropriately loving and giving mercy to those who need mercy and acceptance. Grace and truth, those two words really sum up Jesus. As his word becomes flesh, that means he became a human being to live among us, and that's what we're celebrating today, Christmas morning. I love the message of Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. I'm sure you do too. I'd only seen depictions of the film. I'm trying to figure out why this is even that. I've only seen depictions of the book on film prior to a few years ago when I actually read the story, although I was Bob Cratchit in the sixth grade play. Just a little bit of a disclaimer there. But when you read that story or you see that story, it has such a profound effect on us. Because, and it's a quote that I shared last night, and I'm going to share it again from C.S. Lewis. He said, "You can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending." And that's really what that story is. You have Scrooge, a complete curmudgeon, who is so inward focused, so unhappy, so greedy, and he's confronted with his life, with the things that happened when he was young that made him who he was for today, and the outcome of that kind of life in the future. You know, I think that story connects to us because, honestly, all of us have a little bit of Scrooge in us, don't we? We have a little bit of a curmudgeon, a greedy miser, not to the extreme that he is because he's the character. But the thing that happens in the story is he's confronted and shown his early life, how it is that he became who he did, the things that hurt him, the joy that he once had, the hurts that caused him to pull inward and to push away love. And so when that angel or the ghost of the Christmas past comes and shows him that side of his life, it helps him to accept it and grieve it. And then the ghost of the Christmas present comes and shows him the reality of what he's doing, sometimes unbeknownst to him, of his cruel treatment of his employee and his pushing everyone away, and that he's not going to be saved by his vast wealth. And then the ghost of Christmas future, which frightens him beyond belief, to see the consequence and the outcome of a life only lived for yourself, a life of greed, a life without relationships. The beauty of that story is that it doesn't end there. And the beauty of Christ's story is that it doesn't end in the cross. There's resurrection. And Jesus rose from the dead to give us life. The story of this of Scrooge, the Christmas Carol, ends on Christmas Day, today. He wakes up and he realizes that none of those dreams, none of those ghosts were reality, but he had another chance. He had another chance to live his life. That's grace. That's mercy. That's love. That's forgiveness. As C.S. Lewis said, you can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending. So Merry Christmas. Today is, as every day with Christ is the first day of the rest of your life as you come here celebrating Christ's birth and the wonder of Christmas. It's not just for today or this morning or this service or, you know, the songs we sing or having communion. It's to carry with us throughout the entire season and entire life. As the shepherds who went to see the baby Jesus returned with joy, sharing the news of the baby in the manger, that God certainly is dwelling in our midst. Believe it and receive it. Let your hearts prepare him room. Right after the prayer, Chris is going to sing a song called Welcome to Our World. And this song is our prayer because we can believe it and receive it. And he came to be a part of our world, a part of our lives. Would you join me in prayer? Oh, thank you, Jesus, for being this perfect human and God together, full of grace and truth. Certainly have seen that in my life. I know that each one of us here could say that because you're so gracious and forgiving, and you also are so true and real. And God, your love for us does help us to change. And we thank you that even though we can't go back and change the beginnings or what we've just done, we can start where we are, and that does change the ending. Because where there is forgiveness, there is life. Where there is hope, there is love. And we thank you that you came on Christmas, but we thank you most of all that you come to us every hour of every day. Help us receive you. In Jesus' name.